Victorian thriller by Patrick Hamilton. In a foggy and unfashionable quarter of London at the end of the last century, it is the rather terrifying darkness of the late afternoon. The zero hour, as it were, before the dawn of gaslight and tea.
Nancy, that's the muffin man out in the street.
But it's so foggy outside, Madeline.
I know it's foggy, Nancy, but please go out and get some muffins for tea. There will be a surprise for the master.
The master, eh?
He's asleep in the chair over there. Now, here's some money. Take this.
What are you doing, Mother?
Nothing, dear. Don't wake yourself.
Please, Nancy.
Oh, very well, madam.
What are you doing, Bella? Come here.
Only for tea, my dear. Muffins for tea.
Muffins, eh?
Yes, dear. The muffin man comes so seldom, I thought it might surprise you.
Why are you so apprehensive, Bella? I was not about to approach you.
No, dear. I know you weren't.
This fire's in ashes. Ring the bell, will you, Bella, dear, please?
Oh, is it merely to put coal on, my dear? I can do that.
Now then, Bella, we've had this out before. Be so good as to ring the bell.
But, dear, Nancy's had to go out in the street. Let me do it. I can do it so easily.
No. Let the girl do it.
But, my dear...
Go and ring the bell, please, Bella. There's a good child.
Yes, dear.
What do you suppose a servant is for, Bella? Come here and answer me. What do you suppose a servant is for?
To serve us, I suppose, Jack.
Precisely. Then why?
But I think we should consider her a little, that's all.
Consider her? There's your extraordinary confusion of mind again. You speak as though she works for no consideration. I happen to consider Nancy to the tune of £16 per annum. And if that is not consideration of the most acute and lively kind, I should like to know what is.
Yes, Jack. I expect you're right.
I have no doubt of it, my dear. It's sheer weak-mindedness to think otherwise. What's the weather doing? Is it still as yellow?
Yes. The fog seems to be denser than ever. Shall we be going out in this, Jack, dear?
Oh, I expect so, unless it gets very much worse after tea.
Oh.
Come in.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought the bell rang.
Yes, we rang the bell, Nancy. Go on, my dear. Tell her why we rang the bell.
Oh, yes. We want some coal on the fire, Nancy, please.
Oh, coal, is that all?
And you might as well light the gas, Nancy. This darkness in the afternoon is getting beyond endurance.
Yes, sir.
You're looking very impudent and pretty this afternoon, Nancy. Do you know that?
I don't know at all, sir, I'm sure.
What is it? Another broken heart added to your list, eh?
Well, I wasn't aware of breaking any hearts, sir.
I'm sure that's not true. Lower the blinds and draw the curtains, Nancy.
Yes, sir.
And that complexion of yours, I wonder what mysterious lotions you've been employing to enhance your natural beauties.
I'm quite the natural, sir, I promise you.
Won't you tell us the name of your chemist? Ha ha. Perhaps you could pass it on to Mrs. Manningham and help banish her pallor. She would be most grateful, I have no doubt.
Oh, I'll be most happy to, I'm sure.
Or are women too jealous of their discoveries to pass them on to a rival?
I don't know, sir. Wouldn't that be all you're wanting, sir?
Yes, that's all I want, Nancy, except my tea.
To be coming directly, sir.
Oh, Jack, how can you treat me like that?
But, my dear, you're the mistress of the house. It was your business to tell her to put the coal on.
It isn't that. It's humiliating me like that. As though I'd do anything to my face and ask for her assistance if I did.
But you seem to look upon servants as our natural equals, so I treated her as one. Besides, I was only trifling with her.
It's strange. You can't see how you hurt me. That girl laughs at me enough already.
Laughs at you? What an idea. What makes you think she laughs at you?
Oh, I know that she does.
But, my dear, if she does, doesn't the fault lie with you?
You mean that I am a laughable person?
I don't mean anything. It's you who read meanings into everything, Bella dear. I wish you weren't such a perfect little silly. Now come here and stop it. I've just thought of something rather nice.
Something nice? What have you thought of, Jack?
I shan't tell you unless you come here.
What is it, Jack? What have you thought of?
I read in the newspaper... Now, where is it? Ah. That Mr. MacNaughton, the celebrated actor, is in London for another season.
Yes, I read that. What of it, Jack?
What of it? What do you suppose?
Jack, dear, Do you mean it? Would you take me to see MacNaughton? You wouldn't take me to see MacNaughton, would you?
I not only would take you to see MacNaughton, my dear, I am going to take you to see MacNaughton.
Oh, Jack.
That is, if you want to go.
What heaven?
When would you like to go? You have only 3 weeks, according to his advertisement.
Oh, what perfect heaven. Let me see. Do let me see.
There. You see? You can see him in comedy or tragedy, according to your choice. Which would you prefer, Bella, the comedy or the tragedy?
Oh, it's so hard to say. Either would be equally wonderful. Which would you choose if you were me?
Well, it depends, doesn't it, upon whether you want to laugh or whether you want to cry.
Oh, I want to laugh. But then I should like to cry, too. In fact, I should like to do both. Oh, Jack, what made you decide to take me?
Well, my dear, you've been very good lately, and I thought it would be well to take you out of yourself.
Jack, dear, it's true. It's true. All I need is to be taken out of myself. I could really try to be better. You know in what way. If only I could get out of myself a little more.
How do you mean, my dear, exactly better?
You know. You know in what way, dear. About all that's happened lately. We said we wouldn't speak about it.
No, don't let's speak about that.
No, I don't want to. But what I say is so important. I have been better, even in the last week. Haven't you noticed it? All those ghastly dreads and terrible, terrible fears. They seem to have vanished. And all just because you have given me your time and taken me from brooding on myself in this house all day and night.
Well, we are talking about gloomy subjects, aren't we?
Yes. I don't want to be gloomy, dear. That's the last thing I want to be. I only want you to understand. Say you understand.
Well, dear, don't I seem to? Haven't I just said I'm taking you to the theatre?
Yes, dear. Yes, you have. And you've made me so happy, dear.
Well, then, which is it to be, the comedy or the tragedy? You must make up your mind.
Oh, Jack, which shall it be? Which shall it be? It matters so little. It matters so wonderfully little. I'm going to the play. Do you understand that, my husband? I'm going to the play. Come in. Oh, no, Nancy, I think we'll have it on the table today.
Oh, just as you wish, madam.
Tell me, Nancy, if you were being taken to the play and had to choose between comedy and tragedy, which would you choose?
Me, madam? Oh, I'd go for the comedy all the time.
Would you? Why would you choose a comedy, Nancy?
Oh, I like to laugh, madam, I suppose.
Do you? Well, I dare say you're right. I must bear it in mind. Mr. Manningham's taking me next week, you see.
Oh, yes. Well, hope you enjoy it.
The little beast.
Why, Bella, what has she done?
Oh, you don't know her. She tries to torment and score off me all day long. You don't see these things. A man wouldn't.
I think you imagine things, my dear.
Oh, no, I don't. Do I? But come along to your tea now, my dear. You sit one side and I the other, like two children in the nursery.
You seem wonderfully pleased with yourself, Bella. I must take you to the theatre more often if this is the result.
Oh, Jack, I wish you could. I'm feeling so happy.
I can see that, my dear.
I'm being taken to the play, you see. Here's your tea.
Thank you, my dear.
And here are the muffins.
Ah. Oh,
they look delicious.
Mm.
Aren't you glad I thought of them? I wonder how long it is since we had them. We haven't had them since we've been married, anyway. Or have we? Have we?
I don't know. I'm sure. I don't know. Bella.
What is it? What's the matter? What is it now?
I have no desire to upset you, Bella, but I have just observed something very much amiss.
Amiss? What's amiss? Don't turn your back on me. What has happened?
You know perfectly well what has happened, Bella, and if you will rectify it at once, I will say no more about it.
You've left your tea. Well, tell me what it is. Tell me.
Are you trying to make a fool of me, Bella? What I refer to is on the wall behind you. If you will put it back, I will forget the matter.
The wall behind me? What? Oh, yes. The picture's been taken down.
Yes.
The picture. Who's taken it down? Why has it been taken down?
Why, indeed. You alone can answer that, Bella. Will you please take it from wherever you have hidden it and put it back on the wall again?
But I haven't hidden it, Jack. I didn't do it. I don't know where it is. Someone else must have done it.
Someone else? Are you suggesting that I should play such a fantastic and wicked trick?
No, dear, no. But someone else, dear, someone else.
Someone else, eh? Someone else. We will see about someone else.
Oh, Jack, don't ring the bell. Don't ring it. Don't call the servant to witness my shame. Let's talk of this between ourselves.
Will you please leave go of me and sit down there? Someone else, eh? Well, we shall see. You had better pull yourself together. Come in.
Yes, sir. Did you want me?
Yes, I do want you, Nancy. If you will look at the wall on your left, you will see that the picture has gone.
My word, so it has. Oh, what a rum go.
I did not ask for any comment on your part, Nancy. Kindly be less insolent and answer what I ask you. Did you take that picture down or did you not?
Me? Well, of course I didn't. What should I want to move it for, sir?
Very good. Now, will you kiss this Bible, please, as a solemn oath that you did not, and you may go.
Willingly, sir. Oh, we've either done it...
That is all, Nancy. You may go.
Yes, sir.
There. I think we may now be said to have demonstrated conclusively...
Give me that Bible. Give it to me. Let me kiss it to
you. For God's sake, be careful what you do. Do you desire to commit sacrilege above all else?
It is no sacrilege, Jack. Someone else has committed sacrilege. Now, see. I swear on this Bible that I never touched that picture. There.
Then, by God, you are mad and you don't know what to do. You unhappy wretch. You're mad like your wretched mother before you.
Jack, you promised you would never say that again.
The time has come to face facts, Bella. If this progresses, you will not be much longer under my protection.
Jack, I'm going to make a last appeal to you. I'm going to make a last appeal. I'm desperate, Jack. Can't you see that I'm desperate? If you can't, you must have a heart of stone.
Go on. What do you wish to say?
Jack, I may be... going out of my mind, like my poor mother. But if I am, you have got to treat me gently. Jack, I never lie to you knowingly. If I have taken down that picture, I have not known it. I have not known it. Jack, if I steal your things, your rings, your keys, your pencils, and your handkerchiefs, and you find them later at the bottom of my box, as indeed you do, then I do not know that I have done it. Jack, why should I take a picture down from the wall? If I do all these things, then I am certainly... going out of my mind, and I must be treated kindly and gently so that I may get well. Well, you must bear with me, Jack, bear with me, not storm and rage. I'm trying, Jack, I'm trying. Oh, please believe that I'm trying and be kind to me.
Bella, my dear, have you any idea of where that picture is now?
Why, yes, I suppose it is behind the cupboard.
Will you please go and see?
Yes. Yes, it's here.
Then you did know where it was, Bella. You did know where it was.
No, no. I only supposed it was. I only supposed it was because it was found there before. It was found there twice before. Oh, don't you see? I didn't know. I didn't.
There is no sense in walking about the room with a picture in your hand, Bella. Go and put it back in its proper place.
Yes. Oh, look at our tea. We were having our tea with muffins.
And now, Bella, I'm going out immediately.
Jack.
And I suggest that you lie down for a little.
Have you got to go? Must you go? Must you always leave me alone after these dreadful scenes?
No argument, please. I had to go out in any case after tea, and I'm merely leaving a little earlier, that's all. Now, is there anything I can get for you?
No, Jack, dear, nothing. You go.
Very good. Oh, by the way... I shall be passing the grocer, and I might as well pay that bill of his and get it done with. Where is it, my dear? I gave it to you, didn't I?
Yes, dear. It's on the desk. I'll...
No, dear, don't move. Don't move. I can find it. I shall be glad to get the thing off my chest. Where is it, dear? Is it in one of these drawers?
No, it's on the top. I put it there this afternoon.
All right. We'll find it. We'll find it. Are you sure it's here, dear? There's nothing here except the writing paper.
Jack, I'm quite sure it is there. Will you look carefully?
All right, dear. Don't worry. It's of no importance. We'll find it. No, no, it's not here. It must be in one of the drawers.
It is not in one of the drawers. I put it out here on top.
My dear, calm
yourself.
You're
not going to tell me this is
gone. Calm yourself.
Where is it? Now you're going to say I've eaten this.
My God, what new trick is this you're playing upon me?
It was here this afternoon. I put it here. This is a plot. You're all against me. It's a plot.
Will you control yourself? Control yourself. Listen to me, madam. If you utter another sound, I'll knock you down and take you to a room and lock you in darkness for a week. I have been too lenient with you, and I mean to alter my tactics.
Oh, God help me. God help me.
May God help you indeed. Now, listen to me. I'm going to leave you until 10 o'clock.
No.
In that time, you will recover that paper and admit to me that you have lyingly and purposely concealed it. If not, you will take the consequences. You are going to see a doctor, madam. More than one doctor. Yes. And they shall decide what this means. Now, do you understand me?
Be patient with me. If I am out of my mind, be patient with me.
I have been patient with you and controlled myself long enough. It is now for you to control yourself or take the consequences. Think upon that, madam.
No, Jack. Jack, don't go. Jack, you're still going to take me to the theater, aren't you?
What a question to ask me at such a time. No, madam. Emphatically, I am not.
Oh, yes. I must find it. I must find it. Oh, God have mercy on me. God have mercy on me. Oh, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Oh, peace. Oh, peace.
Yes. Yes. What is it, Nancy? Leave me alone.
Oh, madam, somebody called.
Who is it? I don't want to be disturbed.
It's a gentleman, madam. He wants to see you.
And tell him to go. He wants to see my husband. My husband is out.
No, madam. He wants to see you.
Me?
Yes, madam. Well, you must see him, madam.
I'm not fit to be seen.
Oh, yes, I think you are. Good evening. This is Manningham, I believe. How are you, Mrs. Manningham?
I'm very much afraid I...
You're very much afraid you don't know me from Adam. That's about the root of the matter, isn't it?
No, it's not that. But no doubt you've come to see my husband.
Oh, no, you couldn't be further out. On the contrary, I've chosen this precise moment to call when I knew your husband was out. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, sir.
Now, may I sit down?
Why, yes, I suppose you may.
Thank you.
I'm afraid I don't understand at all.
You will do so, madam, very shortly. You're the lady who's going off her head, aren't you?
What made you say that? Who are you? What have you come to talk about?
Well, of one thing you can be certain. I have not come to talk about the weather. Though that indeed merits a world of comment at the moment. But you're running away with things, Mrs. Manningham, and asking me a good deal I can't answer at once. Instead of that, I'm going to ask you a question or two. So I want you to take a good look at me and see if you're not looking at someone to whom you can give your trust. I'm a perfect stranger to you. You can read little in my face beside that, but I'm old enough to be your grandfather.
Who are you? Are you a doctor?
Nothing so learned, ma'am. Just a plain police detective.
Police detective?
Yes. Or was 10 years ago. You never heard of the celebrated Sergeant Ruff, madam, who brought Sandham himself to justice?
Sandham?
Or were all such sensations before your time?
Why, yes, I have heard of Sandham.
In fact, Mrs. Manningham, you have in front of you one who was quite a personage in his day, believe it or not.
I quite believe it.
Thank you. How long have you been married, Mrs. Manningham?
7 years and a little.
Where have you lived during all that time?
Why, first we went abroad, then we lived in Yorkshire, and then 6 months ago my husband took this house.
And does your husband always leave you alone like this in the evening?
Yes, he goes to his club, I believe, and does business.
And does your husband give you a free run of the whole house while he's out?
Yes. Well, no. Not the top floor.
Ah, not the top floor.
No.
Now, before I go any further, I must tell you that there's a leakage in this household. You have a maid called Nancy.
Yes.
And Nancy walks out of an evening with a young man called Booker in my employ. I only live a few streets away from you, you know.
Oh, yes.
Well, there's hardly anything that goes on in this house which is not described in detail to Booker. And from that quarter, it reaches me.
I knew it. I knew she talked. She shall be dismissed.
Oh, no, Mrs. Manningham. I fancy you're going to be heavily in debt to your maid, Nancy. If it were not for her indiscretions, I should not be here now, should I? However, we were talking about the top floor. There is a bedroom above this, and above that is the top floor. Is that right?
Yes.
Now, have you ever been up to that top floor?
No, never. It's shut up. My husband has forbidden it. No one goes up there.
Not even a servant to dust?
No.
Rather funny.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Now, Mrs. Manningham, to ask you a personal question. When did you first get the notion into your head that your reason was playing you tricks?
I always had that dread. My mother died insane when she was quite young, when she was my age. But only in the last 6 months, in this house, things began to happen...
Which are driving you mad with fear.
Which are driving me mad with fear.
Is it the house itself you fear, Mrs. Manningham?
Yes, I suppose it is. I hate the house. I always did.
And has the top floor got anything to do with it?
Yes. Yes, it has. How did you know? That's how all this dreadful horror began.
Ah, now you interest me beyond measure. Now, do tell me about the top floor.
I don't know what to say. It all sounds so incredible. It's when I'm alone at night, I get the idea that somebody's walking about up there. Up there. At night. When my husband's out.
It never struck you, did it? That it might be your own husband walking about up there?
Yes. That is what I thought. Tell me how you knew.
Why not tell me first how you knew, Mrs. Mellon?
It's true, then. I knew it. When he leaves this house, he comes back. He comes back and walks about up there. Up and down like a ghost. How does he get up there?
That's what we're going to find out, Mrs. Manningham. But there are such commonplace resources as roofs and fire escapes, you know. Now, please don't look so frightened. Your husband is no ghost, believe me. And you're very far from mad. Tell me now, what made you first think it was him?
It was the light.
The light?
The gas light. It went down and it went up. Oh, thank God I can tell this to someone at last. I don't know who you are, but I must tell you.
Now, try to keep calm. The gas light, you say?
Yes. In this house, I can tell everything by the light of the gas. You'll see those mantles up there.
Yes?
Now they're burning full, but if an extra light went on in the kitchen or someone lit it in the bedroom, the ones in here would sink down. It's the same all over the house.
Yes, yes. That's just a question of insufficient pressure. It's the same in mine. Now, go on, please.
Every night, after he goes out, I find myself waiting for something. Then all at once, I look round the room and see that the gas light is slowly going down. It's always at the same time, about 10 minutes after he goes out. That's what made me think that somehow he had come back, and that it was he who was walking about up there. I go up to the bedroom, but I daren't stay there because I hear noises overhead. I want to scream and run out of the house. I sit here for hours, terrified, waiting for him to come back. And I always know when he's coming, always. Suddenly the light goes up again. And 10 minutes afterwards, I hear his key in the lock downstairs. And he's back.
How very strange indeed. Tell me, Mrs. Manningham, that's not the only cause, is it, which has lately given you reason to doubt your sanity? Has anything else been happening? Now, don't be afraid to tell me.
Yes, there are other things. I hardly dare speak of them. It seems that my mind and my memory are beginning to play me tricks.
Tricks? What sort of tricks?
He gives me things to look after, and when he asks for them, they're gone and can never be found. Only today, before you came, that picture had been taken down from the wall and hidden. Who could have done it but myself? I try to remember. I break my heart trying to remember, but I can't. Oh, and then there was a terrible business about the dog.
The dog?
We have a little dog. A few weeks ago, it was found with its paw hurt. He believes... Oh, how can I tell you what he believes? That I had hurt the dog. He does not let the dog near me now. He keeps it in the kitchen. And I'm not allowed to see it.
Do you know, Mrs. Manningham, it's occurred to me that you'd be all the better for a little medicine.
Medicine? Are you a doctor? You're not a doctor, are you?
No, I'm not a doctor. But that doesn't mean that a little medicine would do you any harm.
But I have medicine. He makes me take it.
Ah, but mine's an exceptional medicine. You must try it. I have some in my pocket. There we are.
I so dislike medicine. What does it taste like?
Oh, delicious.
something between ambrosia and methylated spirits.
Do you mean to say you've never tasted good Scotch whiskey, Mrs. Manningham?
Whiskey? But I must not take whiskey. I can't do that.
You underestimate your powers, Mrs. Manningham. This will give you faith in your reason like nothing else. Now for some water. All right, this will do. There. As for you. Now tell me, did you ever hear of the cabman's friend, Mrs. Manningham?
The cabman's friend?
Yes. How nice to see you smile. Here's your very good health. Go on, sip. There. Was it so nasty?
No. I rather liked it. My mother used to give us this as children when we had the fever.
Ah, then you're a hardened whiskey drinker.
Yes. What were you saying about the cabman's friend?
Ah, the cabman's friend. She was an old lady who died many, many years ago.
An old lady years ago? What has she to do with me?
A great deal, I fancy. Her name was Barlow, Alice Barlow. She was an old lady of great wealth and decided eccentricities. In fact, her principal mania in life was the protection of cabmen. Now, you may think that an extraordinary hobby, but in her odd way, she did a lot of good. She provided these men with shelters, clothing, pensions, and so forth. And that was her little contribution to the sum of the world's happiness. Or rather, her little stand against the sum of the world's pain. Well, it was not my privilege to know her, but it was my duty on just one occasion to see her. That was when her throat was cut open, and she lay dead on the floor of her own house.
Oh, horrible. Do you mean she was murdered?
Yes, she was murdered. I was only a comparatively young officer at that time, but it made an extremely horrible, in fact, I may say lasting, impression on me. The murderer was never discovered, but the motive was obvious enough. The Barlow rubies had been inherited by her, and it was well known that she kept them in her house without any proper precautions. Well, for that, she paid the penalty of her life.
But what has it...
There were some sensational features about the case. The man seemed to have got in about 10 o'clock at night and stayed till dawn. Apart, presumably, from the jewels, there were only a few trinkets taken, but the whole house had been turned upside down. Even the cushions of the chairs had been ripped open with his knife. The police decided that he must have been a revengeful maniac as well as a robber. But I had other theories. But I was a nobody then and not in charge of the case.
What were your theories?
Well, it seemed to me, from all I'd gathered here and there, that the old lady might have been an eccentric, but that she was by no means a fool. It seemed to me that she might have been one too clever for that man. What if she'd not been so careless? What if she'd got those jewels hidden away in some inconceivably cunning place? In the walls, floor down, bricked in, maybe. What if the only person who could tell him where they were was lying dead on the floor? Would not that account, Mrs. Manningham, for all that strange confusion in which the place was found?
And was the man never arrested?
No, Mrs. Manningham. I think he's almost certainly alive today. And I don't believe he found what he wanted. That is, if my theory is right.
Then the jewels may still be where the old lady hid them.
The jewels must still be where she hid them. But then, of course, it was only a theory. And that formed in quite a young man, long enough ago. But it would be funny, wouldn't it, Mrs. Manningham, if after all these years I should turn out to be right?
Yes, yes, indeed. But what has this to do with me?
Do you conceive it possible, Mrs. Manningham, that that man might not have given up hope of one day getting at the treasure which lay there, and have bided his time until he could somehow re-enter that house and...
Quiet.
What's the matter?
Quiet. He's come back. Look, look at the light. It's going down. Wait. There. He has come back, you see. He's upstairs now.
Hear me now. How very odd indeed.
He's in the house, I tell you. You must go. He will know you are here. You must go.
How dark it is. You could hardly see to read.
You must go. He is in the house. Please go.
Quiet, Mrs. Manningham, quiet. You've got to keep your head.
Don't you see my meaning yet? Don't you understand that this was the house?
House? What house?
The old woman's house, Mrs. Mannion. 20 years ago, Alice Barlow lay dead in this room. 20 years ago, the man who murdered her ransacked this house, but could not find what he sought. What if he's still searching, Mrs. Mannion? What if he's still up there, still searching?
But my husband is up there.
Precisely that, Mrs. Mannion, your husband. You see, I'm afraid you're married to a tolerably dangerous gentleman.
But how do you know this was the house?
Why, ma'am, because I was on the case and came here myself, that's all.
The idea is mad. I've been married 7 years. How can you imagine my husband is...
Mrs. Mannion.
Yes?
When the police came into this place 20 years ago, there was a lot of routine work to be done. Interviewing of relatives and friends and so forth. Most of that was left to me.
Well?
Well, amongst all the acquaintances and relatives that I interviewed, there happened to be a young man of the name of Sidney Power. I suppose you've never heard that name. Apparently much attached to the old lady, and even assisting her in her good works. The only thing was that I remembered his face. Well, I saw that face again about 5 weeks ago. It took me a whole day to discover where I'd seen it before, but I remembered it last.
Well, what of it? What if you did remember him?
It was not so much my remembering Mr. Sidney Power, Mrs. Manningham. What startled me was the lady on his arm and the locality in which I saw him.
Oh? Who was the lady on his arm?
You were the lady on his arm, Mrs. Manningham. Why? And you were walking down this street.
Do you mean... You think my husband is this Mr. Power?
Well, not exactly, for if my theories are right...
What are you saying? You stand there talking riddles, and you're so cold.
No, Mrs. Manningham, I'm not cold, and I'm not talking riddles. I'm just trying to preserve a cold and calculating tone, because you are up against the most awful moment in your life. And your whole future depends on what you're going to do in the next hour. Nothing less. You've got to strike for your freedom and strike now.
Strike?
You are not going out of your mind, Mrs. Manningham. You are slowly, methodically, systematically being driven out of your mind.
Oh.
And why? Because you're married to a criminal maniac who is afraid you're beginning to know too much. A criminal maniac who steals back to his own house at night, still searching for something he could not find 20 years ago. His name is no more Manningham than mine is. He is Sidney Power, and he murdered Alice Barlow in this house. He changed his name, and he's waited all these years until he found it safe to acquire this house in a legal way. He then acquired the empty house next door. Every night for the past few weeks, he's entered that house from the back, climbed up onto its roof, and come into this house by the skylight. I know that because I've seen him do it. Why he should employ this mad, circuitous way of getting at what he wants, heaven only knows. For the same reason, perhaps, that he employs this mad, circuitous way of getting rid of you. That is, by slowly driving you mad and sending you into a lunatic asylum. Thank heaven you're not married to him.
Not married? Not married? He married me?
I've no doubt he did, Mrs. Manningham. Unfortunately, or rather fortunately... He contracted the same sort of union with another lady in Australia many years before he met you. Moreover, this lady is still alive, and the English law has a highly exacting taste in monogamy. You see, I've been finding things out about Mr. Sidney Power.
Is this the truth? Are you telling me the truth?
Mrs. Manningham, will you look me in the eyes and see if you think I'm telling you the truth?
Yes. I've always known it. I've known it all along. But what do you want me to do? What do you want?
I want his papers, Mrs. Manningham, his identity. There's some clue somewhere in this house, and we've got to get at it. Where does he keep his papers?
Papers? I know of no papers. Unless his bureau.
Ah, yes, his bureau.
Yes, there. But he always keeps it locked. I have never seen it open.
Well, we'll have a look inside.
How can you if it is locked?
Oh, it doesn't look so very formidable. I've got some keys in my pocket that might help. You know, Mrs. Manningham, one of the greatest regrets of my life is that fate never made me one of two things. One was a gardener, the other a burglar. Both quiet occupations, Mrs. Manningham. As for the last, if I'd started young and worked my way up, I should have been a genius. Now, let's have a real look at this.
You mustn't tamper with that. He will know what you have done.
Not if we're clever enough. This one here doesn't even ask for cleverness. You see, Mrs. Manningham, there are all manner of
Stop.
Things.
Stop talking.
Haven't you noticed? Haven't you noticed something?
Noticed?
I've only just...
Stop. Yes, I was right. Look. Can't you see? The light. It's going up. He's coming back.
The light?
Quiet. You must go. He's coming back.
God bless my soul. This looks as if the unexpected has entered in. Our plans are going awry.
He always does the unexpected. I never know what he'll do. You must go.
I wonder. Yes. I think I'll just take a look out the window. Open those curtains, Attraction. Peep through the blind. Ah, yes. Fog's clearing a little. And there he goes, up the street. To his club, no doubt. We have a little time yet. Now, let's have another look at this bureau.
What if he comes back again? There's no light to warn us now.
Oh, you realize that, have you? Well, Mrs. Manningham, we've just got to take that risk. This is going to be child's play, I fancy. Just a little patience, a little adroitness, and the use of the... What's that? Go and have a look, will you? We seem to be rather bothered this evening, don't we?
It's all right. It's only Nancy. There she goes down the street. I forgot. She usually goes out at this time.
Uses the front door, does she?
Oh, yes, indeed she does. She behaves like the mistress in this house.
Saucy girl. Ah, here we are. Next to a key, there's nothing a lock appreciates like kindness. Ah, it's open.
Will you be able to close it again?
Oh, yes, no damage done yet. Now, let's see. Doesn't seem much here. When she got there, the cupboard was bare, and so the poor detective...
What is that you have in your hand? Let me see.
Oh, just a bill, I fancy.
Yes, as you say, just a bill. Just a grocer's bill. You must forgive me if I doubted you at first, Inspector. You are right. He must be the wickedest man on earth.
Oh, I'm afraid you're one ahead of me, Mrs. Manning.
This bill... This evening, he went storming out of the house because he had given it to me and it had disappeared. He threatened me with the madhouse if it did not come to light. I'm beginning to understand, I think, at last. What else is there? Yes. Look. My watch. And my brooch. My brooch. Look at these.
Is he your property also, then?
Yes, both of them. This watch I lost a week ago. My brooch has been missing 3 months. And he said he would give me no more gifts because I had lost them. He said that in my wickedness, I hid them away. Oh, Inspector, you have indeed found treasure tonight.
Oh, not very much at present, I'm afraid.
One moment. This is a letter from my cousin.
Is his correspondence with your relations very much to the point at this moment, Mrs. Manningham?
You don't understand. When I was married, I was cut off by all my relations. I've not seen any of them ever since I have been married. I've longed to see them again more than anything else in the world. When we came to London, to this house, I wrote to them. I wrote to them twice. There was never any answer. Now I see why I had no answer. This letter is from my cousin.
Oh, yes, I see. Just another little...
Listen, let me read you what he says. Dear cousin, all of us were overjoyed to hear from you again. Overjoyed, do you hear that? He goes on to say that his family are in Devonshire, that they have gone to the country. He says we must meet and recapture old times. He says that they all want to see me. He says he is sorry I have not been well, that I must go and stay with them, that they will give me... that they will give me their Devonshire cream to fatten my cheeks and their fresh air to bring the sparkle back to my eyes. They will give me... Oh, dear heaven, they wanted me back. They wanted me back all the time.
Poor thing. You shall have your Devonshire cream, my dear. And you shall have your fresh air to bring the sparkle back into your eyes. Why, I can see a sparkle in them already. If you'll be brave now, you'll not have long to wait. Are you going to be brave?
Thank you, Inspector, for bringing me this letter. What do you want me to do now?
Well, let's get these things back to begin with, shall we? Give me the watch and the brooch, and let's put them back where they were.
Yes, here they are.
Thank you. Now, we must remember where they went. Watch on the right, was it not?
Yes, there.
And the brooch? Nice piece of jewelry. When did he give you this?
Soon after we were married, but it was only second hand.
Second hand, yeah? I'm afraid you've got everything second hand from this gentleman, Mrs. Manningham.
Second hand? How did you know that piece of jewelry was second hand, Mrs. Manningham?
There's an inscription to someone else inside.
Oh, is there? Where?
It is a sort of trick. I only discovered it by accident. You pull the pin at the back. It goes to the right.
Oh, yes.
And then to the left.
Yes.
It opens out like a star.
Aha. There we are. Yes. How very odd. What are these spaces here?
There were some beads in it, but they were all loose and falling out, so I took them out.
Oh, there were some beads in it, but they were all loose and falling out, so you took them out. Have you got them by any chance?
Yes, I think so. I put them in a vase.
May I see them, please?
Yes. They should be here on the mantelshelf.
There should be 9 altogether, I think.
Yes, that's right. I think there were. Yes. Here they are.
Thank you. Now put them all back in the brooch, so... And the brooch in my pocket.
Oh?
Now tell me this. Have you ever been embraced by an elderly detective in his shirt sleeves?
What do you mean?
Well, that is your immediate fate at the moment, my dear Mrs. Manningham. Oh, dear, dear. Mrs. Manningham, don't you understand?
No. What are you so excited about?
In my pocket are the Barlow rubies, complete. Would you like another good look at them before they go to the Queen?
It couldn't be. It couldn't. They were in the vase all the time.
Don't you see? Don't you see the whole thing? This is where the old lady hid the treasure at night, in a common trinket she wore all day. I knew I'd seen this before somewhere. And where was that? In portraits of the old lady when I was on the case. She wore it on her breast. I remember it clearly, though it was 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Goodness me. Am I not a wonderful man?
And I had it all the time. I had it all the time.
And all because he could not resist a little common theft along with the big game. Well, it's I who am after the big game now.
Oh, are you going?
Yes, I must certainly go. And very quickly at that.
Where are you going? What are you going to do?
I'm going to move heaven and earth, Mrs. Manningham. And if I have any luck, I shall be back tonight. It's very early, yes? What time do you think he'll be back?
I don't know. He's not usually in till 11.
Good. That'll give me time.
What are you going to do with the rubies?
It's not exactly what I'm going to do with them. It's what the government in the person of Sir George Raglan is going to do. Yes, ma'am. Sir George Raglan, no one less. The power above all the powers that be. He knows I'm here tonight, you see, but he didn't know what I was going to find out. Now, Mrs. Manningham, you'll serve the cause of justice best by simply going to bed. Do you mind going to bed?
No. I will go to bed.
Very well, then. Go there and stay there. Your headache's worse. Be ill, be anything, but stay there. I'll let myself out.
No, don't leave me. Please don't leave me. I have a feeling...
Feeling? What feeling?
A feeling that something will happen if you leave me. I'm afraid. I haven't the courage.
Have the goodness to stop making a fool of yourself, Mrs. Manningham. There's your courage. The whiskey. Take some more of it. But don't get tipsy, and don't leave it about. Goodbye.
Inspector. Oh.
Come in.
Did you ring, sir?
Yes, Nancy, I did ring. It's 11 o'clock, and it seems that the entire household has gone to bed without leaving me my milk and without leaving me my biscuits.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. They're only just outside.
Then perhaps you will bring them in.
Certainly, sir.
And before you do that, Nancy, will you go upstairs and tell Mrs. Manningham that I wish to see her down here?
Oh, yes, sir. Certainly, sir.
The brooch. Where's the brooch? Yes, come in. Well, Nancy?
She won't come, sir.
What do you mean, Nancy, she won't come?
She said she can't come. She's not well enough. She's just shamming, if you ask me.
Really? Then she forces me to be undignified. All right, Nancy, leave it to me.
Oh, her door's locked. She's got it locked. I tried it.
Really? The door is locked, is it? Very well. Let us try more delicate means of attaining our ends. Perhaps you will take a note to this wretched imbecile and slip it under her door.
Yes, sir.
And while I write, just go down to the basement and bring the little dog here, will you?
The dog?
The dog, yes.
What's the game? What's the idea with the dog?
Never mind. Just go and get it, will you?
Very well, sir.
Or, on second thought, perhaps you need not get the dog. We will just let it be supposed that we have the dog. That will be even more delicate still. Here you are, Nancy. Please go and put this under the door.
What's the idea?
Nothing very much. Run along, Nancy.
Yes, sir.
Just a little smoke for getting rats out of holes.
Where's the dog? Where have you got the dog?
Dog? What dog?
You said you had the dog. Have you heard it again?
Again? This is strange talk, Bella, from you after what you did to the dog a few weeks ago. Come and sit down in this chair, please, Bella.
I'm not well. I thought you had the dog and were going to hurt it. That is why I came down.
The dog, my dear Bella, was merely a ruse to compel you to pay me a visit quietly. Come and sit down where I told you.
No, I want to go.
Shut the door, please, and come and sit down where I told you.
Yes. What do you want?
Quite a good deal, Bella. Sit down here and make yourself comfortable.
Say what you have to say from there.
You are not sitting in this chair I indicated, Bella.
What have you to say?
I have to say that you are not sitting in this chair I indicated. Are you afraid of me that you desire to stand so near the door?
No, I am not afraid of you.
Indeed. Then you have a good deal of courage, my dear. However, will you now sit down here where I told you?
Yes.
Do you know what you remind me of, Bella, as you walk across the room?
No. What do I remind you of?
A somnambulist, Bella. Have you ever seen such a person?
No, I have never seen one.
Haven't you? Not that funny, glazed, dazed look of the wandering mind?
My mind is not wandering.
No. When I came in, Bella, I was told that you had gone to bed.
Yes, I had gone to bed.
Then may I ask why you are still fully dressed? Did you hear what I said?
Yes, I heard what you said.
Then will you tell me why, since you had gone to bed, you are still fully dressed?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you know anything about anything you do?
I don't know. I forgot to undress.
You forgot to undress? A curious oversight, if I may say so, Bella. You know, you give me the appearance of having had a rather exciting time since I last saw you. Almost as though you have been up to something. Have you been up to anything?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Did you find that bill I told you to find?
No.
Do you remember what I said would happen to you if you did not find that bill when I returned tonight? Am I married to a dumb woman, Bella? In addition to all else, I advise you to answer me.
What do you want me to say?
I asked you if you remembered something. Go on, Bella. What was it I asked you if you remembered?
You asked me if I remembered what you said would happen to me if I did not find that bill.
Admirable, my dear Bella, admirable. Well, what did I say I would do if you did not find that bill?
You said you would lock me up.
Yes. And do you believe me to be a man of my word? However, we are really digressing. You did not find the bill I told you to find.
No.
Did you look for it?
Yes.
Where did you look for it?
Oh, around the room.
Around the room. Where around the room? In my desk, for instance?
No, not in your desk.
Why not in my desk?
Your desk is locked.
Do you imagine you can lie to me?
I am not lying.
Now listen to me. Your dark, confused, rambling mind has led you into playing some pretty tricks tonight, has it not?
My mind is tired. I want to go to bed.
Your mind indeed is tired. Your mind is so tired that it can no longer work at all. You do not think. You dream. Dream all day long. Dream everything. Dream maliciously and incessantly. Yes. Don't you know that by now? You sleepwalking imbecile. What have you been dreaming tonight? Where has your mind wandered that you have been at my desk? What strange, diseased dream have you had tonight, eh?
Dream.
Are you saying that I've been dreaming? Dreaming all that happened?
All that happened? When, Bella, tonight? Of course you have been dreaming all that happened.
Oh, God, have I been dreaming again?
What was this dream of yours, Bella? You interest me.
I dreamt of a man.
You dreamt of a man, Bella? What man did you dream of, pray?
A man. A man that came to see me. Oh, let me rest. Let me rest.
Pull yourself together, Bella. What man are you talking about?
I dreamt that a man came in here.
I know you dreamt it, you gibbering wretch. I want to know all about this man of whom you dreamt. Do you hear? Do you hear me?
Was I any part of this curious dream of yours, Mrs. Mannion? Perhaps my presence here will help you to recall it.
May I ask who the devil you are and how you got in?
Oh, who I am seems a little doubtful. Apparently I am a mere figment of Mrs. Mannion's imagination. As for how I got in, I came in, or rather I came back, a few minutes before you, and I've been hidden away behind those curtains ever since.
And would you be kind enough to tell me what you are doing here?
Waiting for some friends, Mr. Manningham. Waiting for some friends.
Bella, go to your room.
To my room. Yes.
Go to your room, I said. I will call you down later. I have not finished with you yet, madam.
You know, I believe you're wrong there, Manningham. I believe that is just what you have done.
Done what?
Finished with your wife, my friend.
What do you mean, sir? Are you going to explain your business, or am I going to fetch a policeman and have you turned out?
Ah, an admirable idea. I could have thought of nothing better myself. Yes, fetch a policeman, Manningham, and have me turned out. Why do you wait?
Alternatively, sir, I can turn you out myself.
Yes, but why not fetch a policeman? Excuse me, Manningham, but do you get the same impression as myself?
What impression?
An impression that the light is going down in this room.
I have not noticed it.
Yes, surely. There. Eerie, isn't it? Now we're almost in the dark. Why do you suppose that has happened? You don't suppose a light is being put on somewhere else?
Yes.
You don't suppose that strangers have entered the house? You don't suppose there are other spirits, fellow spirits of mine? Spirits surrounding this house now? Spirits of justice, even, which have caught up with you at last, Mr. Mannion?
Are you off your head, sir?
No, sir. Just an old man seeing ghosts. It must be the atmosphere of this house. I can see them everywhere.
What ghost do you see, pray?
The ghost of an old woman 20 years ago. An old woman who once lived in this house, who once lived in this very room.
What are you saying?
And now it seems I see another ghost as well. The ghost of a young man, Mr. Manningham. A young man who has murder in his eyes. By God bless my soul, he might be you, Mr. Manningham. He might be you.
What's the game, eh? What's the game?
The game is over, Sidney Powell, and I advise you to take the matter philosophically.
You seem, sir, to have some very remarkable information. Do you imagine you are going to leave this room with such information in your possession?
Do you imagine, sir, that you are going to leave this room without suitable escort?
May I ask what you mean by that?
Only that I have men in the house already. Didn't you realize that they'd signaled their arrival from above?
Huh?
Your own way in, Mr. Manningham, when the light went down?
May I ask what you mean by that?
Mr. Manningham, what the devil's this? Ah, a gentleman. Come in. Come in. Make yourselves at home. Out of my way!
Sidney Charles Power, I have a warrant for your arrest for the murder of Alice Barlow. I should warn you that anything you say may now be taken down in writing and used in evidence at a later date. Will you accompany us to the station in a peaceful manner?
No!
You will oblige us all and serve your own interests best, Power, by coming with us quietly.
Never!
Bring him away.
Inspector Ross.
Yes, my dear. Now, don't you think you'd better...
Inspector?
Yes?
I want to speak to my husband.
Now, surely there's nothing to...
I want to speak to my husband.
Very well, my dear. What do you want to say?
I want to speak to him alone.
Alone?
Yes, alone. I beg of you to allow me. I will not keep him long.
I don't quite understand. Alone? Very well. Very well.
Tie to that chair, Sergeant. This is anything but in order, but we will wait outside. Come along, then. I'm afraid you must not be long, Mrs. Manningham.
I do not want you to listen.
No, I will not listen.
Jack, what have they done to you? What have they done?
Take it easy, Bella. You're clever. Get something to cut this rope, and I'll get away yet and make a jump at it. Can you get something?
Yes, I can get something. What can I get?
There's a knife somewhere in this room. Quick, be quick. Go and get one.
Yes, I will get one. I will get one for you.
You're a good girl. You're a good girl, Bella. Quick, be quick.
I must look for one, mustn't I?
Yes.
If I don't find it, you will lock me in my room. No. You will lock me in the madhouse for my mischief.
No.
Now, where could it be? Could it be behind the picture? Yes, it must be there. No, it is not there. How strange. But I must put the picture back, mustn't I? I have taken it down, and I must put it back. There. Now, where now shall I look? The desk. Perhaps I put it in the desk. No, it is not here. Here is a bill. Here is a letter. Here is a watch. See, take them. I found them at last, you see. But they don't help you, do they? And I'm trying to help you, aren't I? To help you to escape.
Yes, escape.
But how can a mad woman help her husband to escape? What a pity.
Bella.
If I were not mad, I could have helped you. If I were not mad, whatever you had done, I could have pitied and protected you. But because I am mad, I have hated you. And because I am mad, I have betrayed you. And because I am mad, I am rejoicing in my heart without a shred of pity, without a shred of regret. Watching you go with glory in my heart. Inspector! Inspector! Come and take this man away!
Bella!
Come and take this man away!
Very well. Sergeant, take him along. I'll join you a little later. Now, my dear, come and sit down. Well, my child, there's all your life ahead now. It's Devonshire cream for you and the sparkle back in your eyes. But you've had a bad time. I came in from nowhere and gave you the most horrible evening of your life, didn't I? The most horrible evening of anybody's life, I should imagine.
The most horrible? Oh, no. The most wonderful. Far and away, the most wonderful.
Gaslight, a Victorian thriller by Patrick Hamilton. With Barbara Jefford as Mrs. Manningham, Raymond Huntley as Russ, Michael Kilgariff as Mr. Manningham, Patricia Leventon as Nancy the Maid, and Raymond Rakes, who adapted and produced Patrick Hamilton's Victorian.